The spiritual seal, Syria, pay respect mindfully to the Buddha 3 times, then we start. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pāṇātipātā virmani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādīnādānā virmani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrā nirayā majjhāpamādatthānā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Pay respect mindfully to all the Buddhas and Kuan Yin Bodhisattvas. We will do our morning chanting. I need to get Yun Chan and Joyce come and help. So turn to page 19. Morning chanting. Okay, before we start, I think last night, Ying Bi, he got this book, the 32 parts in picture form. If you want to understand what these parts are, they are all in color photo. So you can borrow this, she said, have a look, then return here so that she can collect it back. This is from Ying Bi. The 32 parts of the body in 16 languages. Okay, Joyce, come. You can do from there. Where is Yun Chan? Still not here. Who else can chant? Li Hun, come. Yeah, forgot about you. You have a good Li Hun, come. Page 19, morning chanting. This is to develop the faith, the spiritual faculty. All this morning chanting and evening chanting, they have a lot of advantages. The Buddha actually developed this type of cultivation so that it is partly devotional. He called it the puja. This devotional practice or cultivation is very useful because of the chanting, the vibration is there and it goes into the heart. Then you chant and develop the understanding of the Dhamma. The other thing about chanting is during the olden days, there is no words, no writing. So they got to commit to chanting. Like school song, if you every time sing, it won't go wrong. The wordings, you will remember. Day in, day out, you sing. Even our 6 years in primary school, we remember our school song. 6 years in secondary school, we remember our secondary school song. And the national anthem, you sing from primary school to the university. That's why you remember. So chanting has this advantage, preserving the original teaching. So Theravada has this tradition, which is very good. So now, we make use of it to develop your spiritual faculty, your sadha, so that it renew your commitment to the faith in his teaching. In the greatness of the Buddha, his perfection, his, you see, Buddha is the embodiment of his complete perfection of wisdom and virtue. So this is what the Buddha is, his perfection. And this one nobody can take away because it is his spiritual inheritance, his perfection. So the Buddha is not in the image, always remember. The four objects of veneration, the image is just a symbol, understand, for you to recall to mind his great teaching, his great wisdom, love and compassion and virtue. So when you call to mind his great wisdom and embodiment of love, compassion and virtue, it brings about that strong faith, the respect and the gratitude for him. That's why when you recall to mind, when you see this four objects of veneration, you will know how to pay respect and venerate them. You don't worship them. So that understanding is very important. So this is the purpose of puja. It will help you. Okay, we get Joyce and Li Hun to help us. We start homage to the Buddha. Now let us chant in praise of the Buddha.
The pure one, the perfect and enlightened one. He is impeccable in
conduct and understanding.
The accomplished one,
the knower of the world. He trains perfectly those who wish to be trained. He is teacher of gods and humans. He is awake and holy. In this world with its gods, demons and kind spirits, its seekers and sages, celestial and human beings, he has by deep insight revealed the truth. He has pointed out the Dhamma, beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, beautiful in the end. He has explained the spiritual life of complete purity in its essence and convention. I chant my praise to the Blessed One. I bow my head to the Blessed One. Pay homage to the Buddha. Okay, now we will chant the homage to the Dhamma. Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma.
The Dhamma is well expounded by the Blessed One, apparent here and now, timeless, encouraging investigation, leading inwards to be experienced individually by the wise. I chant my praise to his teaching. I bow my head to this truth.
pay respect to the Dhamma. Now homage to the Sangha, the third gem. Now let us chant in praise of the Sangha.
They are the blessed one disciples who have practiced well,
who have practiced directly, who has practiced insightfully, those who practice with integrity. That is the four paths and eight kinds of noble beings. These are the blessed ones, disciples. Such one are worthy of gifts, worthy of hospitality, worthy of offering, worthy of respect. They give occasion for incomparable goodness to rise in the world. I chant my praise to this Sangha. I bow my head to the Sangha.
Pay respect to the Sangha. Now, salutation to the Triple Gem. Now let us chant our salutation to the Triple Gem and a passage of encouragement.
The Buddha, absolutely pure with ocean-like compassion, possessing the clear sight of wisdom, destroyer of worldly self-corruption, devoted indeed, that Buddha I revered. The teaching of the Lord like a lamp, illuminating the path and is through the deathless, that which is beyond the conditioned world, devotedly indeed, that Dhamma I regard. The Sangha, the most fertile ground for cultivation, those who have realized peace, awakened after the accomplished one, noble and wise, all longing abandoned, devotedly indeed, that Sangha I revere. The salutation should be made to that which is worthy, through the power of such good action. May all obstacles disappear. One who knows things as they are has come to this world, and he is an Arahant, a perfectly awakened being. Purifying the way leading out of delusion, calming and directing with perfect peace, and leading to enlightenment. This way he has made known. Having heard the teaching, we know this. Birth is dukkha, aging is dukkha, and death is dukkha. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are dukkha. Association with the light is dukkha. Separation from the light is dukkha. Not attaining one's wishes is dukkha. In brief, the five offices of grasping are dukkha. These are as follows. Identification with the body. Identification with feeling, identification with perception, identification with mental formation, identification with consciousness. For the complete understanding of this, the Blessed One in his lifetime frequently instructs his disciple in just this way. In addition, he further instructed.
Wait, here you stop. Here you have to chant the Pali and the English together. I will chant. Rupang anicca. Rupang is form. we must understand here the translation is limited to only first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. They call the rupang the body is impermanent, asana. But there is a second type of rupang, mental form, that I explained yesterday. All the external form that you take in through your perception that enters your mind, and this one also same, also impermanent. So rupang is all of physical and mental form, understand? So we just chant form is impermanent. Yeah? Then vedana anicchang, feeling is impermanent. Sangnya anicchang, perception is impermanent. Sankara anicchang, mental formations are impermanent. It's okay, wait. We are here more interested in the meaning. Huh? We try not to chant. I will read the translation in English. Sankara is not only mental formation. Huh? Sankara is everything that your mind can do. That's why this word has been grossly misunderstood. All of your mental thinking, activity, planning, scheming, deceitfulness, your emotion, your fear, worry, anxiety, mental states, mental intention, mental formation, they are all sankara, including feeling and perception. So the Buddha liked to use this word. He always used sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkang. He never used sabbe vedana sanya sankara vinyana anicchang. So sankara actually cover everything that the mind can do. So we have to understand. Huh? We use the word sankara are impermanent better. Huh? Then vinyanang anicchang, consciousness or mental consciousness is also impermanent. Then the Buddha straight away go into rupang anatta. You know why or not? Because he want you to see impermanent. The moment you have direct seeing, you insight into impermanent, you straight away realize everything is empty, non-self, anatta. And suffering is definitely the result, no need to talk about. That's why the Buddha don't want to mention it here, understand? So when I went to Thailand, very funny, 24 years ago, the first time I reached Achanyantra Sunataram Temple at Kanchanapuri, early morning, 3 o'clock, we already wake up because there is activity already. Then 3:45, the monk start chanting. Then I heard this one from far. Rupang anicchang. The moment they chant this, my heart like open up straight away. Like I completely understood what this is. And the rupang is very deep. When I contemplate, I already saw all this. That's why when the Dhamma was chant, at first I didn't know there was such a chanting. Then after I heard this, I was full of joy. That was 1980-something, 1989. So I chant again, just the Pali one. Rupang anicchang, vedanak anicchang, sanya anicchang, sankara anicchang. So you all want to chant together, you can. Vinyanang anicchang. Then after that is rupang anatta, vedana anatta, sanya anatta, sankara anatta, vinyanang anatta, sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe dhamma anatta. Excuse me. You see, he used a different word now. Sankara, he say anicchang. But when it comes to anatta, he says sabbe dhamma. Understand? So Dhamma here, the meaning is very deep. Dhamma means not only the conditioned arising world. Sankhara is the conditioned arising mental content. The mental consciousness with its content. That is the conditioned arising world. But when it comes to anatta, non-self and empty nature, Dhamma, sabbe Dhamma. Dhamma cover all of the conditioned and the unconditioned. Even in the enlightened state of Nibbana, it's still non-self. That's why it's called anatta. That's why there is no one technically. Don't go and quote me and go and get this argument with people some more. Brother Teo say, no one to be enlightened, meditate for one. They will come and say like that. But technically, there is no one to be enlightened. Understand? Because the form and mind realize itself and free. Understand? But this form and mind is not you. It's a delusion. You grasp and you cling. Because of delusion, this form and mind become afflicted. Understand? Become deluded. Understand? But when you awaken, means what? It's not a person get enlightened, you know. You know what is awakening. That's why you must understand what that true mind is. That true mind is just pure awareness. It's not a person inside there, understand? That one cannot come out and live, understand? To come out to this world, to this universe to live, you need the form and mind. How you get it? Through your karmic, understand? Your karma, karmic nature. So karmic nature condition the birth of this form and mind, understand? And this form and mind, when it arises, this one is not you, understand? So this one is a vehicle for you to use to live. The mind is like a tool. The form is like a vehicle with its senses. And because karmically conditioned for you to use, so you must understand what this is. But before you connect to your true mind, true nature, and develop the wisdom and enlightenment, this form of mind is deluded. It doesn't know how to live. Understand? That's why it got so much problem, so much suffering. That's why earlier in you chant, the upadana khandas, the five aggregates of grasping, which is the first noble truth, final summary, is suffering. So this five aggregate, which I wrote on the board yesterday, the conditioned arising mind is not your true mind. This is your mundane mind. And this one has the characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self. Understand? So don't be deluded by it. So this form and mind, yeah, if you don't have wisdom, it is going to condition you into delusion, sakayadhiti, and you will grasp and cling and condition your suffering and misery, your fear, worry, anxiety, selfishness, emotion, the evil roots will be there. But the moment you develop this meditation, you connect back to your true mind, what does your true mind do? The true mind enables you to see things as they are, not deluded, etc. So when it's able to see things as they are, that form and mind, the mundane mind, realize its own stupidity, etc. Like earlier on, one of the sister, Alicia, I think Vincent's wife, she explained to me before she came to my class about a few months back, she was caught in all this. She cannot see, suffer like anything. Then later on, when she listened to the Dhamma, because what was explained by the Dhamma related to life, and that was exactly what she goes through, then she realized, why am I so stupid? Thinking of the wrong thought, getting entangled and become so miserable. It's only a thought. How come it has such power? Then she started to understand there is joy. Initially, it was quite bad. She said, can't even sleep, insomnia. Got to see psychiatric and all this thing. But now she recovered. And that is just true knowledge, you know, not real wisdom yet. So I told her now, this is the second phase. You cultivate this training of the mind to be heedful, to be aware, so that when you leave it, heedful living, there will be another transformation. This time it will not fall back. Once you awaken, this mundane mind is like that. Once you understand, you will never go back and do those deluded things and stupid things anymore. When you know what is heedful living, you never want to be heedless again. Last time I was so heedless, getting angry, the evil root so strong. Root of all evil, causing you all this suffering, you don't know. You still think you are doing the right thing. So what happened is, through the direct seeing, when you meditate, the mundane mind realize the truth and awaken. Awakening is a wisdom, anasana. This wisdom doesn't belong to anybody, anasana. This wisdom doesn't belong to a person, anasana. That's why it's anatta, anasana. But through this wisdom, born of the direct seeing, because you are connected to that nature, and then you can say, this form and mind is enlightened, anasana. Grana. Well, it realizes itself, no more deluded, so it's enlightened, that's why it don't suffer anymore, understand? But this form of mind is not me, understand? It's condition arising, understand? It's a segment of my life, understand? So I will not be deluded by this and say, oh, this is me, understand? That's why there is no one to be enlightened, understand? This is condition arising. This fire aggregate is not a permanent unchanging entity, understand? How can it be you? So that's why when I say, during the early year, you know, when I came out to share 2004 or 2005, I mentioned this at the Vipassana Center. I think one or two of them got a shock. I said, no one died, no one born, no one sick, no one old, nobody to be enlightened to. Then finally that person came and asked me, let them meditate for one. He want to be enlightened. We make aspiration to be enlightened. But it's not a person, not a human being. So this understanding is very important. Then just now, Brother Danny asked me a very good question. He said, Brother Teo, I want to know something personal. I said, you all know I went for my angel procedure a few months back. He said, what was your mind? Do you have any worry or anyone? Then I look at him. Oh, very good question. Because to me, I don't have such thinking. I don't want to think like that. To me, this form is my physical body. This is not me. This is just a vehicle that allow me to live, to have the senses and the consciousness that can arise for me to make use of, to experience all of life and to learn and to do whatever I want. So this is not me. So I don't have that thought. So it's just like a car. A car got problem over years, need maintenance or need servicing, or need certain part to be changed or blockage to be clear. What must I do? Through my understanding, I must get a good mechanic in there. That's why I look for a good doctor. And then the procedure, when it just finished, I don't go and worry about this, worry about that. What happened if the doctor no good, I do wrongly, I die, how are my children? How? All this is your thought. That's why sankara is like that. You project and you create fear, worry. It means you are not living, you don't have wisdom. You worry about life, understand? So worrying will not set you free, understand? So this part is very important. Okay? So now we continue. So now you understand, we can go on. I will just translate the last two sentences. Sabbe sankara anicchang means, here they translate as all conditions are impermanent. You sure cannot understand one if you are not Dhamma based. Understand? What is all conditions? Actually, it's the conditioned world, conditioned arising world. And this world come about because of your mind, understand? Sankara, everything that your mind can do. So mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything come to be, the world come to be. Everything that you come to perceive, the world or the universe, come from mind, understand? That's why this mind is conditioned arising. That's why all of conditioned arising state or phenomena, they are impermanent. Then, sabbe dhamma anatta. There is no self in the created and the uncreated. Understand? Created and uncreated means the existential world and the non-existential world. Means the unconditioned and the conditioned. That's why the Buddha said, if there is no such thing as an unconditioned world, then escape from the conditioned world is impossible. Understand? That's why Nibbana is the unconditioned. There is no condition there. One. There is no mind there. One. Understand? There is no this and that. Understand? You know what is Nibbana? Nibbana, you cannot talk. Because no words. Understand? The mind sees. Even consciousness also sees. Then only the form and mind that went in realize that when it come out, it will know what that thing is. But he cannot explain to you. He can use word, but it's not that thing. So Nibbana, the closest word you can go to is the unconditioned. That's why the Buddha always used that. But the truth of Nibbana is, it is the true, original, oneness nature. Nothing is apart from Nibbana. It's like the Tao. Nothing is apart from the Tao. So, whether it's the condition or the unconditioned, it is the whole thing. That's why within the phenomenal world, you have the noumenal world. The noumenal actually encompasses everything. So, Nibbana is like the oneness, but you cannot talk about it. You only have to realize the enlightenment and enter that cessation, then only it merges into that oneness. And that oneness is no mind, nothing. Physics, through physicists, they start to understand. They call it the singularity. You heard of this word? Singularity. You know what is a singularity? The source of all things. From this singularity, the Big Bang, the whole universe come to be. But because of this singularity, this is the source. So when you can come back to the source, this source can understand the whole creation. Understand? That's why they say when you can reach back to the singularity, in the Mahayana they always say, on a speck of dust, the whole universe is there. And that is the singularity. And it goes beyond space and time. That's why speed of light, not fast enough. So there is this thing called consciousness that moves faster than the phenomenal speed of light. So consciousness is very fast. That's why you talk about the black hole and all those things. All these are still the physical world. But when it comes to the mental, spiritual consciousness, it's totally different. That's why there's a lot of mystery in this universe, a lot of beauty. But when you understand, it's very easy, so simple. Okay, we go on. Okay. We get Joyce to continue. All of us, no need, English only.
All of us are bound by birth, aging and death, by sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. Dukkha and obstructed by dukkha, let us all aspire to complete freedom from suffering. To the Blessed One, all attained parinibbana is our refuge. To Sugata and the Sangha, attentively we follow the pathway of the Blessed One. With all of our mindfulness and strength, may then the cultivation of this practice lead us all on of every kind of suffering.
Then continue,
Remembering the Blessed One, the Noble Lord, and the perfectly enlightened One, long ago attained parinibbana, We have gone forth with faith, but from whom don't let us. And like the Blessed One, we practice the holy life, being fully equipped with the Bhikkhu's system of training. May this holy life lead us to the end of the whole mass of suffering.
Okay, just now that sentence supposed to be chanted by the monk, is it an alternative verse of the preceding section chanted only by the monks and the nun? But if you are a cultivator inside you, you are like a monk and a nun, so no problem. Then later on, the next one is after a period of silent meditation, maybe we meditate for 5 minutes, then we end. You can just silence your mind for about 5 minutes. Then we will end. Okay, let's chant the closing puja, the closing homage. We chant the Thai version. You prostrate, then we will bow after we chant. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Bow. Svakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Bow to the Dhamma. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho sangha namami. To the sangha I go for my respect and refuge. Okay, just nice. You got 1.5 hours for meditation after this. But before that, I just make a 1 or 2 announcement. There is this slight shift in the program. You look at the lunch time. It's supposed to be 12:30 to 1, not 12 to 1, 12:30. It's 12:30 to 1. Then the rest is 1 to 1:30. So this time, if you allocate the table to do the washing, then you can have more time to rest. I understand some of you don't have enough time to take bath. So some of you this morning quickly take bath. But don't worry. You should have enough time if you try to separate the washing. We should all thank all those people who help wash and clean up the what they call cups, cutlery and all things. I saw Jenny doing that, and a few of you. Then cutting fruits for us, preparing all this for us, and the kitchen helper too. We should thank them. So when you reflect and contemplate before you take your meal, you should send your pure wish to them too. You say sadhu to them for making all this available, for helping us to wash, to clean, to prepare for all the food. So by the power of this wholesomeness, we pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for them to realize their good and noble wishes. Then you rejoice, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You can also rejoice now. Then after this, we will do 1 contemplation like I promised you yesterday, the 5 daily contemplation. After that, you are free to do your meditation. Then those who want to make use of the Dhamma contemplation outside is very good during the daytime. Today the weather is very good. There is sun outside. So when you go out, you feel some of the warmth. Then you get some vitamin D. The other thing is, take along that anonymous sheet that I wrote. It will teach you how to reflect and contemplate. So you take it along, look for a quiet spot, read it, reflect, contemplate. Then you silence your mind, like I teach Mi Fong just now. I said you just go out, you walk mindfully, but in a relaxed, natural awareness way. Body and mind as one, then just relax. Whatever awareness that come by, just allow it to pass. Let your mind flow with it. Understand? Don't try to think, don't try to know anything. Just be with it. Understand? Then silence your mind. The moment you silence, it's like your nature is with everything. This will allow you to open up your heart, understand? Your nature, to embrace everything. And you do this frequent enough, long enough, that Sakaya Ditti, the ego that shrink to this form of mind, will get dissolved. Understand? Then it's like there is no division between you and everybody and everything. Understand? And then only you can develop the wisdom to understand that everything is a part of you. Nothing is apart from you. Understand? you and nature is one. If anybody create negativity to harm nature, it's harming yourself, understand? Like the nature's law say, you reap what you sow. But they don't know that they are one with everything. They still use the mind to isolate themselves and divide. That's why the thought divide into me and the rest. Then when they see things also, they are deluded. They think there is a person to see, another. I see. That's why that selfishness come about, another. And Krishnamurti call it the division. You divide into the observer and the observed. That's why you are different from what you observe. But actually, the observer and the observer is one. Both are that consciousness, the same creation. This you will only understand when you meditate, and later on when you transform, then you understand what he say very clearly. So bring along that sheet, read through it, mindfully reflect, contemplate, then silence your mind. After that, don't look at the sheet anymore. Silent. And you understand. And you find out for yourself what happened. How your mind, when it's in this silent inner awareness, in the creative state, against the one that is heedlessly busy creating this and that, lashing onto this and that, you find out for yourself how that type of living is so different from what you used to do throughout the day when you are living your daily life. So this is the opportunity, okay? I got 1.5 hours, a lot of time. If you want to sit, you can sit for a while, or you go and do your contemplation, come back and sit, okay? So the 1.5 hour is more than enough. You can walk, relax. That's why this meditation is not rigid, understand? It's up to you. You do within your own capacity and your own understanding. You're not sure, you ask. There are a lot of opportunities. After that is Q&A, another 1.5 hour, okay? Okay, now I will do the reflection, then we go. Page 39. Yes. Oh, 12:30 to 1, the lunch, yeah. No more 12 o'clock, so you got 2 hours for Q&A. 12:30 to 1. Then rest and clean up is 1 to 1:30. You still got 1 hour. But because if you were to eat and clean up, you may not have that much time. So you break it into 3 groups to help you, so that the other 2 groups will have rest for 2 of the meal, understand? So that you, most of you have at least 2 meal sessions to clean up and other things, understand? So 1 session group sacrifice to do. So you all go and decide who will sacrifice for the breakfast, lunch and the dinner washing. Okay? You got 4 table lady.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, 12:30 now, yes, Q&A. Yes. Yes. Okay, so that is the slight adjustment. Okay, we will do the reflection. Page 39, the 5 daily contemplation or reflection. This one, the Buddha advised all the monks and the cultivator to reflect constantly. We are these 5. Are the Dhamma for you to free your mind from the First Noble Truth, suffering. First Noble Truth, the 8 conditions that can condition suffering, you need to have this contemplative wisdom to free. So now we read to you. The first contemplation is, this body of mind, do you all have any more problem with the time? Okay, you listen. Look at your program. After Q&A, you're supposed to have 12 to 12:30 lunch. But this is wrong. The lunch is 12:30 to 1. Okay? Adjust by 1/2 hour. then rest and clean up is 1 to 1.30. So just adjust a little bit there. Yes. Don't worry about that, Yunjun, because once they split into three, they got two sessions to take their bath. After meal, half an hour, you leave your plate there, the others clean it up, then they go and take their bath, understand? Because there are three meals. So there will be more than enough time. Then in between this 1.5 hour, you can go back and take your bath also, understand? If you don't want to spend so much time meditating, contemplating, you do mindfulness while taking bath, understand? It's also part of the training, understand? Mindfully go back to your room, get your whatever towel, so that you can split your time for bathing, understand? Toilet may not be enough, but different people do it different time, then you have enough, understand? Within 1.5 hour, maybe you spend 15 to 20 minutes, answer nature's call, take your bath, but do it with mindfulness. It's still part of the training, understand? So you don't worry, not enough time. Yes. So those who want to go off earlier, if you got stomach problem or you don't feel well, you need to go back and rest or sleep or do your work, it's up to you. Don't have to ask permission. Pay respect to the Buddha, then just move silently. This is not a rigid type of retreat where you have to follow everything I say. No. My retreat is you do with understanding within your own capacity. I don't believe in forcing people to meditate. What for? If they are not ready, let them be. But if they are serious and diligent, if they want to do more, I welcome to. Like this morning, I saw quite a number came in early. I rejoice, actually. That's why I came in and gave some instruction. So sometimes you come early, you benefit, but I will be here early too. You can ask me questions. And a lot of this thing is up to you, the individual, nothing to do with me. My duty is just to share my understanding. I have this condition to be with you all because of past affinity. You all must have done something, otherwise you cannot be here. Understand? So whatever the condition is, we are here now. Make full use of it. Understand? Don't try to like, oh, I need time to take my bath and all those things. I want more time. Forget about all those things. You need anything within the program, you try to make do and adjust. It can still be done. Understand? It's just like we come here, we follow their rules. Understand? You join the retreat, you follow what has been set up. If it's not appropriate, we need feedback so that the next time we do, we improve on it. Understand? That is how we progress. That is how we improve ourselves. So there is no rigidity in anything we do. Okay? So now can we continue? Okay. The 5 daily contemplation, page 39. This one I must finish off so that it helps you to develop the wisdom to free your mind, at least to a certain good extent. The first one is, the Buddha said, you must reflect every day. This body of mind, actually the wording is not so good here, I change a bit. You say, this body of mind is of the nature to grow old, for it has not gone beyond old age. And decay. You just change to this body of mind. It's of the nature to grow old. For it has not gone beyond old age and decay. So you know this body is only element, understand? That's why you have to reflect. Element go the way of nature, understand? That's why this body of ours is of the nature to grow old and decay. We are, if follow nature, understand, element will return to element. To nature it shall return. For it has not gone beyond this process of decay or getting old. Everything also have to grow old. Understand? You look at the plants, the trees, whatever they have life. This is the nature's way of evolving, moving. Then the second daily contemplation you must always contemplate is this nature of mine or this body of mine is of the nature to get sick and be diseased, for it has not gone beyond disease and sickness. Because body is just a body, and it's a, you cannot say, hey, don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. It's not you, understand? It doesn't listen to you, understand? It wants to get stomach ache or get sick, it never asks you permission. Hey, Brad Dio, I want to get sick already, can I? Or I want to create stomach ache for you already. It never tell you, understand? It's a natural thing, understand? You eat wrongly, you don't take care, then sometimes because the DNA is like that, the time come, like the car, wear and tear, it will break down, understand? Then certain car, the manufacturer's defect, understand? So it come, already got problem, not perfect. Like some people are born with deficiency, they call it the OKU, orang kurang upaya. Some are born deaf, some are born blind, some are born, they cannot talk, dumb, and all that. So we are fortunate that we have our senses all in order. That's why when you have contentment, you appreciate what is still functioning. You have a lot of good mind state. There is a lot of joy. And this contemplation is about developing the contentment, the understanding of what this thing is. So the third contemplation is, this body of ours is of the nature to die, for it has not gone beyond death. Die is what? No one die, not you die. So, death, you must understand what is death. That's why just now Danny was discussing with me, when I told him, you must know how to die. He said, yeah, you must know how, you must know how to live. Oh, then he said, you must know how to live and you must know how to die. I said, no, you don't die. Understand? You must know how to live means this form and mind know how to live. But nobody die. Understand? The form and mind doesn't die. Is your consciousness separate? The condition disperse. Understand? When condition cease to be, the phenomena cease to be, the form and mind disperse, cease to be. But human being call it death. Understand? Why my voice, when I stop speaking, no more? Why you didn't say my voice die? Understand? Because there's no condition for it to arise. Understand? It just ceases. Because they are all conditioned arising. So nothing die. Understand? It's just a separation of this consciousness from the form. Because this form can no longer sustain the consciousness inside. Or the life force, no more heartbeat. That's why the consciousness has to leave. And this random of consciousness is not you, understand? It's not that you have become the hungry ghost or what. No. This one is a random of consciousness, understand? And this one will disperse, finally. But the rebirth consciousness has already taken place, gone, understand? Okay, yes. It's different. Coma. The life force is still there, understand? The heartbeat is still there. Sometimes they sustain it for you in the ICU. But they cannot use their senses to contact you, understand? Because this mind has got no more ability. Very likely they have a stroke or what, the brain damage, understand? Then this, all the nerve, they cannot be activated by the brain or the mind, understand? That's why sometimes the people in coma, you speak to them, they can hear you. They know what is happening. Because the consciousness inside, it hasn't left, understand? But it's trapped inside, it cannot do anything. Just like paralyzed, understand? Vegetable. Understand? Like Stephen Hawking. his major senses are down, one another. The eye can see, of course, but the hand cannot type, cannot do anything. Limited movement because the nerve has break down. The spinal cord, there is a center nervous system that connects to the brain, and through this brain you activate your thought, and this one sends the signal. As I mentioned, they send the signal, and through the spinal cord, it activates the muscle. That's how your hand moves, your leg moves, you can move. But when some part of the nervous system is affected, they call it paralysis, because there is a stroke, the blood flow block. Then that part of the brain damage, then it ceases to have that type of function. So that's why the whole operation of this form and mind or this body is dependent on everything that is there, like the car. If every part is functioning, then the car can move. The driver can drive the car. But no petrol, how? Cannot move. Certain part, major part down, how? Cannot move. Formula One driver also same. So in a way, it's the same. Coma or no coma. Okay, we better go on. The fourth one is very important. All that is mine, beloved and pleasing, will become otherwise, will become separated from me. This is to let you know the reality of the phenomenal world. You don't own anything. Nothing belongs to you. You know what the Buddha said? He said, only the foolish one lament. The foolish one will say, my son, my wealth, my property, all that I own, I hold on to dearly. He said, this only the fools, means foolish one, lament. For that very body also don't belong to him. Wherein son, wherein wealth, wherein property. You think you can own anything? This body, when the consciousness sees and separate, it also don't belong to you. People take and cremate. Otherwise, they go and bury. Yeah. Yeah, that is true. You see, more important is you must understand there is two types of reality, understand? One is within the world, understand? That's why there is such thing as life, understand? There is such thing as what they call experiences, understand? Even though it's only moment to moment, not so real. Everything that arises, you check, this moment arises. Next moment gone. Actually it's dead and gone, no more. Everything is within the moment. But all this moment like become like a continuity, where you use your thought to project the continuity. That's why you say, I exist. I have a past. I have a future. But you never live, because living is within the moment. So moment to moment life passes by. As real as it can be, it's only within the moment. After the moment is dead and gone. All of your past, since birth until now, I ask you, real or not? You can never deny that you lived them before. But are they real? You cannot hold on to them. You cannot catch on to them. You can only recall through what? Memory. There is no more reality, understand? Everything is mind-make, understand? Then why do you hold on to it as if, oh, you were last time I want my loved one? Yes, when they are around. Filial piety is when they are around. Filial piety is from your heart, understand? Not when they die already, go and cry and let people know that, oh, I got a lot of filial piety. That is not filial piety. That is form Dhamma, trying to impress people that I am a filial child. I sorrowful lament. The Buddha already said, no amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. You cry for what? You cry to show people, understand, that you are failure. But when they are around, you take care of them, you really love them, understand, you have gratitude. And that is filial piety. Or after they pass away already, from your heart, You don't cry, you don't lament. You do what you can to help them as well. You share merit, transfer merit, read it, whatever. Just like Li Hun, some of you may not know. Before she came, the mother-in-law passed away. But very old age, 90 years old, 98, a very good age. So a lot of people don't understand. At first, they all try to like tell her, how can you are the daughter-in-law? Your mother-in-law passed away, you don't go back. A lot of people cannot accept answer. So I explained to her, you have to resolve it amicably with them. You got to let them understand that filial piety is from the heart. Because of the retreat, the funeral was the day before. So if he go back to the hometown, he cannot come back in time for the retreat. So he seek the husband's approval. The husband understanding, agree. But there are some family member who don't quite understand. So there's a slight misunderstanding. But finally, I think it will get resolved. More important is, like she requested, when she come here, she can do something for the mother-in-law. On her own, she can send merit, transfer merit, and do whatever she wants to aspire for her. Then make donation on her behalf. Then we all can also, where she requested, Li Hun requested, if we can, one of the sessions, maybe later tonight, we have to share merit, transfer merit, and if she can receive, we send some pure wish to help her in her future life. So these are more tangible, understand that? So love one is, you love them when they are around, but you don't attach and cling, understand that? Like good food, got condition to eat. I also eat, understand? If you're so deluded and say, well, I'm spiritual, you know? I must not have craving, you know? I enlightened already, you know? I cannot have craving, you know? Good food I cannot eat, you know? Pass to me, I eat for you. That is deluded, isn't it? Got conditioned to eat, to experience all this consciousness, you eat. But don't eat with craving, understand? With desire. Means what? Next time, no more good food, get angry. That is craving, that is attachment. Understand? Whether condition or no condition, you understand them for what they are. Like when we are here, vegetarian, we rejoice with people who have donated and helped prepare this food. There is joy, understand? Then when I have good food, when people outside offer or we go for good restaurant, there is condition I can afford. So I buy for my family, for their welfare and happiness. I see the joy. But I don't go and indulge. I don't go and simply spend money. When you can afford it, if you have the means, pamper yourself a bit. This is what life is all about. You can experience them. But the spiritual life is more beautiful. You can experience a lot of things that normal heedless people never have the opportunity to have that experience. The great beauty and wonders of life within every moment of consciousness is so beautiful. Every moment of pure consciousness, free of fear, worry, anxiety, just silent peace, joy. You never lived that way before. I have gone through it for the last 20, 30 years. That's why every moment to me is beautiful, meaningful. Very rich. Life is beautiful, meaningful. That's why I like the topic, understanding life. I always talk about that. It's meaning and purpose, following the Dhamma way. These are very, very useful understanding. So this one is very important. Don't attach, don't cling to your loved one and your property and your wealth. They are there because of condition. When condition is there, they arise. If you have ownership, for the time being, use it for the happiness of all, for yourself, your loved one, and all of society, humanity, and the environment. Play your role, understand? Whatever you give, come back to you, because karma is like that. You reap what you sow. So don't be deluded and selfish. You think you die already, you can bring all this along? Cannot. Never follow you. Only your karma follow you. All your good and bad deeds follow you. So make haste in doing good, understand? avoid all evil, like the Buddha says, so that in future when you come, you have good karmic inheritance, so that everything will be beautiful. Like what I have in this life, I can never ask for anything more. Like you are so blessed, so lucky, so perfect. I have everything. I reached the pinnacle of my life. I not only successful materialistically, I have a very good, what they call academic career. I reached the pinnacle of it. Then I have a very good career life. I also reached the pinnacle of it. Then financially, I also realized my financial independence quite early. Then relationship-wise, I got a very good family unit with a lot of love and understanding. Then the last thing that most people cannot do is spiritual. So spiritually, I also reached the pinnacle of it. What else can I ask for? And my life, I'm very blessed. Everywhere I go, I travel. The weather is very kind to me. Like, they protect me. That there is something up there protect me. Take care of me. That's why those who travel with me, they will know. They are like very blessed, very lucky. And there's a lot of joy. Understand? So Dhamma is like that. So once you understand, you know how to make use of it, then leave. No more worry, no more attachment, no more clinging, no more problem, etc. The last one is the most important. This one is the law of karma. The Buddha said you must contemplate. This one is not I. All living beings. All living beings. They are the owner of their karma. Heir to their karma. Born of their karma. Related to their karma. Abide and supported by their karma. Whatever karma shall do, for good or for bad, they are their inheritance. They are the heir. So thus we should frequently reflect, actually daily, contemplation. So when you understand the importance of karma, you will know what to do. You have to take care of karma. How to take care of karma? Train your mind to be heedful so that you can avoid all evil to good. Purify your mind. Then the secret of life is understood. You know how to live. Then you got no more problem. Okay, now I leave it to you to meditate. You can do sitting, walking, contemplation. You try to go out. Because we have quite long of chanting Dhamma. So just relax yourself and do your Dhamma contemplation. Bring that piece of anonymous note along and go somewhere and silently read. Then reflect, then come back and meditate a bit. Then 10:30, we assemble here again. You got 1 hour 15 minutes. Oh, don't have. Oh, sorry. You are left with 45 minutes. Oh, sorry. We took so much of your time off. Oh, yeah. 9 o'clock. I took 45 minutes. Never mind. You make do with what you can. 45 minutes. You need to ease yourself, you go. We pay respect and you can do what you like.